What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
It is Tuesday, the 28th of January. It'll be a crazy episode. I mean, just with all the things going on, obviously here in LA, we're just going over some of the Kobe stuff. It's obviously everybody knows by now, Kobe Bryant, LA Laker, Hall of Famer, well, future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. Top two in many people's books. Passed away, Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. Crazy, unexpected. Helicopter crash. Him, his daughter, his 13-year-old daughter, seven other people on their way to his facility where he has that youth program, Mamba Academy. His daughter's two teammates, her parents, one coach. Just tragedy. It's just unexpected. Took everybody by surprise. Took the whole city. Took the world.
Yeah.
I think because not that many people are, in terms of a global sports icon, not that many people are like on Kobe's level. I think it's different from like with basketball, because basketball is like, I don't know.
It's an Olympic sport, so it's globally played.
Yeah, and like I can't even say that, like another athlete. Let's say, you know, not saying, you know, wish anything on these athletes, but like a Ronaldo or like a Messi, it'll be sad, but I think it'll be more of like a primarily an international type of,
or it'll be like a news story for the day.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be definitely sad, but it wouldn't have. I don't know if it would have the same. It's a different type of athlete. He crossed over into the entertainment. He crossed over into philanthropy. He crossed over into like, he was just a global sports icon, and everybody kind of admired him. Other athletes in different sports admired him for his work ethic and his, how he motivated them to be the best athlete they can be. He was basically Mr. LA. I mean, I would say he was.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare where you see a player get drafted by a team and stay with that team for 20 years. Yeah. Usually, you know, players get traded, they leave their team, but Kobe was a Laker from day one.
Yeah,
till he retired.
And we especially people our age, basically grew up with him.
Yeah, he was our Jordan.
Yeah, he was our Jordan. By the time we were, you know, for me, I'm a little bit younger, but I was probably like 12 years old when he was like 17 in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy, pretty tragic, pretty sad, unexpected, crazy, super unexpected. And, yeah. Then, you know, we got to see him, you know, unfortunately, I'd never, like being in LA, I never went to a Laker game. I've never been to a Laker game.
I saw him one time against the Jazz.
Yeah.
The first year the Staples Center opened in 99.
Yeah, it's maybe we took it for granted. I always watched from home. I think everybody here watched from home. I think I've never been a big sports guy, but it's Kobe, you know. It's like you got to love Kobe. You got to, you know, respect him and know that he's the big part of LA, I think even more so than Magic was or Kareem. Yeah. Like they had their time, but after a while they kind of left the spotlight and Kobe came in from like three decades almost. Mm-hmm. You know,
he transcended sports and it's crazy when I think the game when he tore his Achilles heel and he shot the free throws with the torn and then he walked to the bench. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's one of those guys that you just never expect something like this to happen. He's
41 years old, man.
41. His daughter was 13.
That's
most of the people on there were roughly around the same age. Is this one of those people that I didn't even think it was real at the time. It's hard to even comprehend that it's real. That someone like Kobe goes out in that way and is not around.
And the way he died is
the way he died is tragic. The fact that there was more than one, it wasn't just him, it was a group of people. It was like this a freak, horrible accident, and people are, I know they're blaming the pilot, and he's definitely at some fault because he is the most experienced person on there and knows what to expect in terms of the flying conditions. And it looks like the weather conditions played a factor because it was a foggy. It's been a foggy more week in LA, especially in the mornings, late nights. And but you can't. It's not a time to point fingers and blame. It's just one of those human error and freak accident and things happen. The guy's a super experienced person and he flew celebrities all around. So he was Kobe's basically his, you know, private
guy.
His guy. Kobe's flown in helicopters almost his entire career, mainly because he never wanted to spend time in traffic. He just wanted to go from the game, practice, and back home, spend time with his family, and that was his main reason for doing it. And
it's crazy. It's like I've never seen someone's death have so much impact. Like and just seeing like continued coverage like the day after and today's what? Today's Tuesday and it's still going on.
Yeah.
They have like different it's crazy how much. And then I saw that scene where I think it was China when they were like holding cannons for him.
Yeah. I knew when it happened, it was like I was like I told you before, I was like, this is a big one. I told my wife Liz, I was like, this is a big one. I mean, like, this is not like just someone dying. This is Kobe. This is like global sports icon, like young. And in this way, this one's a big one. I was like, this is like Michael Jackson, even though Michael Jackson had his demons and he kind of felt victim to his demons. It's on that level because it was a global response.
Yeah. I knew he was big. I didn't think he was this big. Yeah. And seeing different people mourn, like not just basketball people, people from the MMA, people from different sports.
Yeah, even MMA.
Celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I never would think that he was that big.
Yeah. And yeah, he was. And transcended different aspects of sports and life. I got to see him speak.
Oh, that's right.
2 years ago.
That's right.
I was at a business conference, and he was like the main speaker. And his event was like a big event. But it was like in the ballroom at the convention center. And then, yeah, I mean, I was kind of mid row. So not too far away, but not too close. And yeah, got to see him speak. And I was talking about his post career and the businesses he's invested in and what his thought process was in doing it and this and that. So he seemed like he was like had a going into his retirement. Like with ease and just enjoying it. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of players when they retire from a sport that they've been in for so long, they kind of get that itch. But Kobe was ready to retire. I think he was happier post career than he was during his career, because when he was playing, he had the pressure of winning, he had the stress of, you know, the world, being away from his family. So I think he felt the happiest post career.
And most people can't let it go, but he was able to kind of like find another passion. So, yeah, but like, again, with the MMA community, everybody, you go on the feed and there was almost every, I mean, you could look at Glory Kickboxers, Invicta fighters, you know, EFC fighters, you know, UFC, Bellator people, like across the board, just all those athletes in the combat community, half of them, more than half of them, 90% of them responded something about Kobe and his motivation. A lot of them, especially the bigger names, got to meet him.
Yeah. So, and it's crazy seeing like all the different NBA arenas across the nation have purple and gold, you know, the Laker colors outside their arena.
The Intercontinental building here, or the tallest building here, lit up in purple and gold. You have the Empire State Building, purple and gold. Yeah. Like
MSG had purple and gold.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, the whole city was lit up purple and gold. It's crazy.
It's sad. It's sad. And it's not over yet because they still got to do they're finishing up the investigation. And then they got to do kind of city stuff. They're going to do they're going to do an open event for a memorial. They're going to do the funeral. That's going to be broadcast. They're going to have the first couple of rounds of Laker games and Clipper games, which kind of somewhat already happened for the Clippers, but Lakers have yet to play. They had a game today scheduled, but that was postponed. So
you know, it's crazy about the postponement. I think that the last time an NBA game was postponed was in Boston during the Boston bombings.
Yeah.
And before that was when Kennedy got shot. So this is a big deal.
So yeah, it's just one of those things that like what the fuck? Like it's just, you can't even, it's doesn't even seem it's, real. It's like, yeah. It's completely unexpected, completely almost like unnecessary. Like why? Like why?
We
started the year out.
Yeah. And we both experienced some big losses on.
And then bam, like why?
Kobe Bryant of all people.
You know?
I still can't believe it happened. And then I went to watch YouTube. I go, oh, it's real. Oh god.
Yeah, every time you go online or you go on YouTube, it's everywhere. It's all you see. And it's like you get reminded that damn, this shit is real. And it's freaking,
yeah.
It really happened. Is it like Kobe's dead and the way he went out and like it's
because when I'm offline, I wouldn't say I forget about it, but it's not in my mind. And then when I get reminded, I'm like, god damn, he's dead.
Yeah.
And it hits me.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. And it's sad seeing all the responses from some of the people that were close to him. Some people that you didn't even know were close to him responding. And it's like, you know, Shaq finally responded like in person, tearing up and all that. Phil Jackson has yet to respond. What's his name that runs the Lakers?
The Bus family or?
No.
Oh, Jerry West.
Jerry West responded. That was a sad one. He's probably one of the first big names like that to respond.
Mm-hmm. And Kareem responded. That was
Kareem responded. Yeah, it was just sad all around, just unexpected, just a tragedy. And it's different than if he like died in a car accident by himself and just one of those things. But like it was like
his 13-year-old daughter.
It was just like multiple victims is a completely human error tragedy. It's just like
horrible. I feel bad for his wife. Can you imagine losing a husband and daughter on the same day?
It was them and because he's got three other daughters, two of them super young, two of the middle ones super young. I think it maybe no, he has like a 17-year-old from another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's got a 17-year-old, the 13-year-old that was with him, and it's sad seeing those pictures of them together. It's just freaking. Oh,
he was just at Staples Center. Not too long ago.
It was freaking horrible. It's so horrible seeing their pictures together and knowing what happened.
And it's crazy seeing them like at Staples Center talk about the Lakers and then like they don't know that in a couple of days they'll be dead. Yeah. That's crazy. Crazy.
And then he's got two other daughters. He's got a 6 to 7 month old that will barely even won't even really know
who he is.
I mean, won't we remember the interactions?
Yeah.
No. But obviously we'll get reminded plenty because there's plenty of footage and video and games and the people around. Yeah. I don't know what's harder. That I'm sure it's the hardest ones are probably the young ones because it's hard for them to process it.
Yeah.
The baby or the oldest one, the baby doesn't know any better right now. And the oldest one has more capabilities to process things.
Vanessa, huh? She has no... Losing a daughter and a husband.
I heard she found out from other people because she was at the arena where they were going to practice.
Oh crap!
And she was there waiting for them, and from what I hear is that other people found out through the news, and then she wasn't notified before, so she found out from people there.
Oh god!
Yeah, and then not to mention the other victims on there. You had. The baseball coach from Orange Coast College, his wife and his youngest, and they have two other kids that were like late teens that were at home, and after pretty much the entire family's wiped out. It's sad.
Ugh.
And then the other family on there, I think the coach,
Gigi's teammate, right?
Yeah, there's a wife and a mom and a daughter. They passed away, and then there was the coach, the female coach, and her husband put out a statement because they had three young kids.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And they're the kids are like 10 and under.
Oh god!
And their mom's gone, and it's like,
oh, what are you saying?
He's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know how I'm gonna freaking. just like, you know, it's going to be tough moving on just because, you know, I've got three young daughters or three young kids. I think he's got a son, a daughter, and a younger daughter. So he's got, yeah.
And like, I mean, I can imagine them saying goodbye. It's kind of, okay, well, I'll see you later. And maybe a hug and maybe a little kiss or not even that. Because you expect them to come home and then, you know.
Just sad.
The last thing they know is like he's never going to talk to his wife or daughter again. That's crazy to me. And then before I forget, there was an interview from Tracy McGrady from Magic. And he said that Kobe always told him Kobe always wanted to die young.
They always wanted to die young?
Yeah, Kobe Bryant. Because, you know, Kobe and Tracy McGrady grew up together and they played ball at a young age. And he said he remembered a conversation when Kobe told him he's always wanted to die young.
Yeah. But I'm sure it changed as he got older.
As he got older and had kids. Yeah,
that changed.
But it's crazy. It's just him knowing that happened. Yeah. That he said that. It sucks.
It sucks all around. Yeah. It sucks for all the fans, all just the people that admired him.
People
of the city, for sure. Like the LA area, for sure. And then all the victims and all the remaining family members that lost all the, like, their loved ones and like families just broken apart. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the biggest story of 2020 once this year is over.
Because I mean, like, there are people that have celebrity, and I hate it when people, like, you know, you hear it now, like, where some people, I've seen a couple of responses from people, like, either like in the media or on like personal, where they're like, oh, like, I'm never really a person that gets emotional when celebrities die, but this one hurts or something like that. And like, I think one of the ESPN guys was like when so-and-so died, I think he even brought up Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died, I didn't really understand the magnitude. Like, I was a fan, I admired him, but I didn't understand why, you know, people were so emotional. And then he's like, but now I get it. And it's like, and for me, it's just a lack of empathy. It's being like, oh, you don't really know the person, so you don't feel like they're worth your emotion or whatever. Like, you don't have that attachment. Maybe the person's not that the type of person that gets attached. But I think I'm that way. Like it sucks to say, but like when I've had family members, especially older people, pass away, you know, not that many, but, and you don't, you feel sad and you remember the times that you spent with them, and maybe the last 10 years you really didn't see them. They didn't have that much of an impact on your life or in any way or something like that, but that you remember them fondly.
People like someone like Carrie Fisher dies, and like, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Like, I remember when Carrie Fisher died. Oh, my God. I was a wreck.
I remember calling you and checking up on you.
Or when Chester died from Linkin Park. Oh, fucking, I was a wreck.
And that was like kind of close to each other, those two deaths.
Yeah. And then it was like, and then like other like actors or
people that you admire,
or musicians or, you know, like people of this, you know, notoriety, like passing away either tragically or unexpectedly in natural causes or whatever. It's like I feel those because I think in a lot of ways they were
there for you. Yeah.
They were there for me
in some way,
in some way, more so than, let's say, a family member that you passing away that I rarely even knew.
You see, like, once a year or whatever,
or didn't, you know, or, you know, it's sad to say that
it's a connection.
It's sad to say that, but it's a connection that sometimes you depend on. You know, Carrie Fisher dying. We grew up with Carrie Fisher in the house. You know, we grew up with Carrie Fisher in the media. We grew up with Carrie Fisher. Like, those movies meant a lot to us. Those characters meant a lot to us. Mm-hmm. Her as a celebrity and was entertaining and meant a lot to us. You know what I mean? So it's like, and to have her pass away, like, through a heart attack on at a young age. She's like maybe 61. And then, like, you know, Chester passing away from suicide, or Chris Cornell passing away from suicide, Scott Weiland dying from overdose. You know, it's like these people that inspired you, you know, that motivated you, that, you know, that entertained you. I always felt something. I never understood why, how people could just dismiss human life like that. You know what I mean? Like, and just be like, ah, they're a celebrity. Ah, who? It's Paul Walker died. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know Paul Walker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so he's still a person.
Yeah.
And he did something for you. He entertained your ass. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah. So I get it, and it sucks because like we've seen a lot of people that we admire pass
especially
on.
Especially the last few years. Yeah. I mean, the last few years, I've had family members die tragically. I've had people that inspired me or motivated me, and celebrities or musicians or whatever, like we talked about, passed away. A lot of them in the last few years.
Especially in music.
Yeah, especially in music, and it's like could be just the times that we're living in terms of social media and how media affects people's mentalities. It could be just life in general. This is how things go. It could be age. As we get older, people start to die off. People that we've admired over the years start to die off.
And I always think one day I'm going to go and I'm going to be gone forever. Like,
yeah.
Like and we're then, alive right now, and then we know we're going to die. And that's why
you don't know if you're going to see people again. You don't know if there's an afterlife. Chances are there might not be. You know what I mean? So it's like you make the most of what you got. You appreciate what's around. And you do what you can. Yeah, life gets in the way. People are, you know, you get busy. But as long as those last interactions are positive, or you try to, like, reach out, or you try to, like, enjoy life or live life in some type of way as best as you can, then it's like that's all you can really do. Because
I think Jerry Diaz posted a picture of Kobe, and he said this is the reason why we should always hug our loved ones and tell them we love them.
Yeah, because I mean his family expected him. They were just normal Sunday practice. I'll see you at the game. So there you go. And then
why didn't he just drive?
Yeah, so. Or when they were having complications because they circled the zoo area, Glendale area, around for a while. It's like.
Land.
Yeah, this land. You're having complications, you know? So, I mean, that's what we can say about it. I mean, you're a big basketball fan. Any final thoughts on it? Like,
I'm
a casual, so.
Yeah, it sucks because I do remember, you know, watching all those five championships that Kobe brought to LA, and watching the games, and going to the parades and seeing Kobe in person. I saw Kobe play one time, like I was saying earlier. It's I have no words to describe it. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. Yeah, but our condolences to the family, man, especially Vanessa, poor thing.
Yeah. All the family, all the victims, all that stuff. It's pretty sad. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for the city to recover. It's going to take a while for people to kind of like start to go about their days normally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy. Crazy times. What else? This weekend was fun, though.
Yeah, it was.
At least up until Sunday. Saturday was great. We had Bellator 238. It was just great. Seeing all the media members that, you know, well, there was a lot of media members. It was, I mean, obviously, the Cyborg's debut, Sergio Pettis' debut.
Mm-hmm. Brought a lot of attention.
A lot of Aaron Pico on the card.
Mm.
So a lot of reasons to be there. And it was just a fun night. It's just a good fights are great. Media members were, it's great seeing everybody. It's always a good time with Bellator and the crew, and you know, all the you know, CJ and Dan and all them. It's just fucking great to see those guys, and always they're so gracious and, you know, respectful and just helpful and just fun to be around. They always, like, they remember, you know, props to them for even just like being like, hey, how's your wedding and stuff like that. It's like just stuff you don't come across. It's just like you don't come across that kind of shit, dude. So it's like,
yeah, same with,
I appreciate
with,
it.
With Garrett David, like Garrett Davis.
Oh, Garrett, yeah.
Like he has a right to blow us off.
If you guys don't know Garrett,
he does.
Garrett Davis, he's, you know, one of the media members, and he's one of the biggest names in MMA and combat sports media, and it's just like, you know, he's just a joy to be around, joy to see. He's just is one of the guys, and it's just one of the crew, and just
yeah,
like, doesn't hold himself above everybody, and he, even though he has every right to, you know, Rob Fanboy Nation, and you know, Amy, and just everybody, man. It's just great to see everybody. Great to see. It's always a joy to, you know, and I know we don't get to do as much for the, in this podcast as much as we'd like all the time, but you know, the fact that we go are able to go to those events and see those people and see the fights and
it's worth
these,
it. Yeah,
you know, these make these historical moments in combat sports, to see them up and close in person. It's just, it's like, look at all our media credentials that we've gone to go to. And it's probably, I'm sure it was a few in there that we don't even have on there that we, you know, all the experiences.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. Sometimes you take it for granted because you take it for granted, but also I think it's frustrating to not be able to do more and mm-hmm. to be like, it'd be full time, but
yeah,
it's fun. It's a great time. Yeah. Fights are great. You know, who won on the card? There's a few notable wins. Obviously, we had to go with Cyborg.
Yeah.
Cyborg winning the championship there. It was a featherweight? Yeah, right?
Featherweight, yeah.
I mean, dominant, looked great. Four-time champion in multiple organizations.
Yeah, Invicta, the UFC, Bellator, and Strikeforce.
Yeah, just, I mean, listen, I know Amanda Nunes is considered the GOAT, but is she? With the length, the time that the Amanda, this will be the first question here. So with, she's so dominant, Cyborg, you could talk on her performance and what you thought, but is she the GOAT? Even with, like, taking into her account her win streak, the length of time that she was undefeated, the way she beat people up, who she beat, her multiple titles.
It's a tough question because, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Amanda beat Cyborg, beat Ronda, beat Holly, beat Misha. I mean, how many girls can claim that?
Yeah. But later in her career, though, she was going through a moment in her career where she was getting beat herself.
Yeah, I think every fighter faces that. I think at some point, whether it be in the beginning or later in their career, mm-hmm. But I think her resume, if you're going to put her resume in who she's been and have that as a category, then she is the GOAT. But if you put dominance and titles, the Cyborg is, but
yeah, dominant titles and some notable names.
Yeah, notable yeah. name as well. I think maybe Amanda faced tougher competition,
and the fact that a lot of the other girls didn't want to fight her.
Yeah,
like Ronda avoided her. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't think she fought Misha, right?
No,
Misha avoided her. Misha retired before she even got a chance to even throw her name in the hat.
Yeah, but you know, if you look at the people that Cyborg faced versus who's Amanda faced. I mean, I think Amanda faced tougher competition.
Yeah.
But it's all opinion. I think it's kind of hard to say whether I think Amanda or Cyborg's a GOAT. It depends on what you consider as far as the categories go.
And obviously Cyborg later in her career, she's mid-30s, almost 40s, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Cyborg won four titles in four different major promotions is a feather in her cap in itself.
It's hard to argue.
It's one of those barbershop arguments. I mean, it's not a wrong answer who you pick, but I'll just say that they're both up there, or both one and there. Two, or one.
Like,
and
is
one.
Amanda
one A, one B?
Amanda might go down as the second generation of the GOAT. You know what I mean? Like
Michael and Kobe.
Yeah, Cyborg had, you know, Cyborg's Michael Jordan. And then because she kind of revolutionized the game. She was dominant.
Yeah.
She's multiple time championship. you know, obviously Amanda's got to catch up in that respect in terms of the length of her dominance.
And Amanda's a two-way champ.
Two-way champ, double champ. You know, so they both, there's arguments for both.
And I don't think one's a wrong answer either. No.
Amanda's younger. She's like 30, mm-hmm. 31, something like that. So she's got, she's younger. I don't know. I mean, but dominant performance. But the thing is also, to Cyborg's credit, not to be at her age, to be at the career that she's had, and to still really not skip a beat. She's always, at sometimes, even like with this performance, improving.
Yeah.
A little bit more calculated, yeah. But still ferocious.
And yeah, the conditioning. I mean, Cyborg's a beast, and she's she put a fear in a lot of women's eyes. And
to have that championship conditioning at her time in her career, most fighters would probably be on the down slopes at this time.
Yeah. And I think with what I like the most about Cyborg is, and this is what I want to say in the press conference, but I didn't get to say, is that a lot of people are always mentioning her accolades, you know, in the cage, but, you know, I think she's a champion outside the cage, and the stuff that she does, you know, outside and visiting different hospitals, there's a lot of, you know, volunteer work. She goes, you know, she touches people's lives.
Yeah.
I think that's also really important, and she's a phenomenal person outside the cage.
Yeah. Does a lot of work, does a lot of work for the youth. But yeah, no, she did great. I mean, Julia Budd did what she could.
It felt bad for Julia Budd.
Yeah. I don't know if the performance warrant in her title reign warrants an immediate rematch. I think
no, she got dominated.
She got dominated thoroughly, I think. She hung in there as best as she could.
You know, when I'm there, I just like suck up the moment, just stare and say, man, how fortunate am I to be this close to the fighters and just watch it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and we just go to have we try to do our work, do the best we can, and just have a good time.
Sometimes I just find myself, man, this is
yeah, I crazy. Do too. I look around and I'm just like, I look at all the lights, I look at all the screens, all the people around, where we're sitting, who are around. I'm just like,
it's so crazy.
This is cool. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like every crazy. Time. So yeah, the event was great. Aaron Pico. Got a win, much need to win, looking great.
Yeah.
Sergio Pettis looked great. It was just a all around really fun night, really good showing by Bellator. We'll see Bellator again in person in May. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. I think Bader's title fight on that card. And from what I hear, they're going to do their best to stack the card. So it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. We have a combat jiu-jitsu in March. So those are the next couple events for us, at least that are set currently. UFC had an event over the weekend, too. That was, I think, Raleigh. Was it Raleigh, North Carolina, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We saw the main event.
We were watching main event of Curtis Blaydes and Junior Dos Santos. Curtis Blaydes on a roll still. He's obviously expressed some frustration with the heavyweight division, looking to, you know, saying that, you know, there needs to be more progress in terms of getting guys title shots and moving along and getting these number one contender shots right away and more of an active champion. And I kind of agree. I kind of agree because the Cormier and Stipe fight is not even official yet. Cormier is still waiting on that to be official. That's going to delay any other title defenses for Stipe down the road.
It just holds the whole division in limbo. I think they should just create an interim. If you're going to create an interim championship, this is the reason. This is a good reason why you should do it.
Yeah, and it's it might be a year. It might be a year until Cormier and Stipe fight again, like from the time that they fought all the way to the next time they fight.
Well, DC said that if he's not ready to fight by summer, he's going to retire.
Yeah.
And you can't blame him because...
can't blame him. I mean, why not? 1-1. There you go.
It sucks that he's exiting the sport with a loss, but I mean, how long are you willing to wait?
Yeah, and then you beat the guy already. He beat you. You can both claim the 1-1.
He has that show on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, on that. He's fine. I mean, even if he did retire, I wouldn't mind seeing it again. I don't need to see it again.
Nah,
but
me
neither. I wouldn't mind seeing it just to have a definitive answer, but then it's like, where do you go from there? If Cormier wins and vacates the title, then you have Stipe fight for it again. And do you just chalk it up to, oh, well, they might go one for one every time. Mm-hmm. So
where do you put Dos Santos now? I mean, geez, he's like inconsistent. He's like, he fights not that often. And when he does, he'll win one. He'll lose one. And
he'll have like he'll have like a couple of wins, and then he'll lose a couple of devastating losses. A couple of wins.
Is he like?
I wouldn't say he's done. I'd say he's a gatekeeper at this point in his career. He's the guy that if you could get past Dos Santos, I'm sure you're welcomed into the top five ranks.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he's still tough to deal with. He's still a guy who's not easy to fight. But you go against a guy like Curtis Blaydes, Curtis is a big guy. Even like I saw him against Dos Santos, he's a big guy, mm-hmm. and he's got that wrestling caliber. He's got those heavy hands, and he's just a big, quick guy. Probably one of the most athletic in the division.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you have Francis Ngannou, who beat him too. Who's just, I mean, a wrecking ball of a freaking person.
It's,
so
I think the heavyweight division needs new guys. I think it's far and few between like the fighters that we have.
I mean. John Jones. I'm hoping John Jones makes a move.
He needs to.
If he makes
I'm hoping this year.
I think if he makes a move this year after Dominic Reyes, it changes the entire heavyweight division. I say he goes
in there and just dominates.
Just dominates and just shuffles the whole, like almost like a freaking, like you're playing pool and then all the balls just disperse. He just, that's John Jones sending them all the fly scattering and then see what happens after. See who comes
in. It's true, man.
I think he's big enough. He's quick enough. He's talented enough to just dominate that division. I wouldn't mind seeing Gus up there too.
Mm. Oof. Like, I want to see Francis Ngannou face John Jones. That'd be scary.
I want to see how he does against guys like Curtis Blaydes, who's, you know, a talented striker and wrestler and big. I want to see how John Jones deals with guys that are like closer to his size.
Yeah.
Cause light heavyweight, he's kind of, he's the bigger individual most of the time. It'd be interesting.
I want to see how he reacts to like a Francis Ngannou punch.
Yeah.
Clean punch.
Yeah.
He'll probably get knocked out.
I don't know. I don't even know if he would mess with it. I think he would.
No, I'm saying like if Francis is like land
a shot. Oh yeah, I mean that's how it goes for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. Before we go, we'll go Stephen A. Smith. Any thoughts on the Stephen A. Smith Rogan controversy? Rogan talked about it. He had Frankie Edgar on today. I have yet to watch it fully. I'm curious to see.
Oh, but he
talks about him.
Did he respond to Stephen
A.? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't think he backed down really. He kind of like stood his ground in terms of, you know, I don't know. So I got to watch that. Frankie Edgar's on there. Kamaru Usman. After this Kobe thing.
I can't stand Kamaru Usman anymore. He's so annoying.
So after this Kobe tragedy, you had Kamaru Usman on Rogan's and just talking about himself and this and that. I'm like, I don't need to see this shit right now.
I just want to, might as well fucking rip him apart.
Like you had one of the biggest athletes in the world just pass away tragically. I don't need to see Kamaru Usman just talking about how good he thinks he is. I just don't. I get it. No, nothing wrong against the guy. Whatever, you do your thing. But you could have waited a few days to just get this interview in. Like I know scheduling wise, you had to for Rogan. You had to get it done. Can't postpone it. But like,
mention Kobe.
Yeah, mention Kobe. Go come in a little bit more. Like just.
Sympathetic.
Sympathetic to the situation, the you know what's going on in the world,
especially that Rogan says in LA.
Yeah, and not be talking about yourself, and that's all. Like the first 15 minutes of it, he was just talking about himself and this, and I'm like, all right, I don't need you to be talking about yourself. I don't want to hear this.
I hope
every other podcast talked about it.
Yeah,
at least mention it right off the bat, and not so much on Rogan. I guess Rogan wanted to like you know let the guest. Really dictate what they wanted to talk about. I'm sure they brought up Kobe already on their own. So
yeah,
it's just I don't know. So but Frankie's on there, and it seems like a good discussion. So I'm gonna catch that later on. But
cool.
I don't know, Stephen A. Smith.
I think, is he
out of his lane? If he's out of his wheelhouse, should he stick to his own thing? Should he be a little? He didn't say anything. For me, he didn't say anything that was like that. His observations are not wrong. It's just the way he put it and the disrespect in terms of like saying he folded and you being so new to the sport. You got to be come a little bit more.
Yeah, but I think his response to Rogan, I think he said all the right things. I don't think he said anything bad.
No. The response is no, but I think he avoided what the real issue was. He didn't even bring it up.
No, like, he didn't.
It wasn't about you saying anything about Connor. It was what you said about Cowboy.
Cowboy, yeah.
And he completely avoided that in his response.
He voted, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know. I think if you're a guy like Stephen A. Smith and you're coming into this sport, you got to be a little bit more respectful. And he didn't.
I just hope that this incident doesn't, have Stephen A. Smith, have a bad taste in his mouth where he doesn't want to do this again.
Yeah.
I think he's legitimately trying to understand the sport or watch it. And, I think he wants to know more about the sport. So I just hope that this doesn't, like...
And I appreciate that, but you can't go on first... No. Big event like that.
Yeah, no. I'm not condoning what he said at all. I'm just saying, I just hope that he doesn't.
Yeah.
This isn't, have him not want to do it again.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah, that's my same thing. All right. This weekend, I don't think there's any big fights this weekend, is there?
No, it's a fairly quiet weekend in MMA.
Yeah, I don't remember anything coming up. Let me see here real quick before we go, just to make sure we're not.
Nothing major anyway. But yeah.
I'm going to look at some of the events.
I think there might be a few cards, but nothing.
No, you have LFA actually over here in Costa Mesa on UFC Friday. Bypass. You have one championship that's got an event going on. That's about it. Next week, you have one championship in Invicta and Jones and Reyes, which is five. Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Until then, until next week, we'll break down those fights. But stay safe and see you guys next week.
See ya.